So that's incorporated into this class. So the Lord engages the world, so should we. I truly believe that to this day, Almighty God is engaging this world. And He engages this world in so many different ways, and His people are the number one way. In today's world, through Christ Jesus, we are the primary contact with people. People who do not know God. And so when I start thinking about that, I'm thinking, wow, Todd Watrous. Wow, what do people see when they see Todd Watrous? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about these things too. What do people see in Todd Watrous? And I'm talking about people who are non-believers, unbelievers. People who are skeptical about Christianity or just religion. Right? I mean, we've run across that in our lives. But I'm going to encourage us is that when people start talking about religion, that it's not religion we're dealing with. We're talking about a relationship with Almighty God through Christ Jesus. It's different than a religion. So, before we get going, though, we've got to talk about the schedule here. I don't know if I had enough. I only did like 82 copies. You know, you pick a random number on the copying machine, and I did 82. So anyway, I'll have more next time we do this, and I'll set them up back here in the back. But we have it set up. This is really sort of interesting. We're going to have a total of 9 classes for this study. All right? I don't think it's enough, but and we got a short amount of time, so I got to get going here. But I think, I'm hoping that what you acquire out of this is, I'm hoping that it encourages us and compels us in our hearts to actually take an opportunity when it is opened up to us, to recognize that opportunity and ask somebody, how's your relationship with God? So anyway, 9 classes. Now, this is interesting because, see, I'm here tonight. This is the intro night. And then next week is a Devo night. And then after that is the 28th. Well, the 28th, 2 weeks from tonight, Tyrone Minear is going to be stepping in. He will be the substitute teacher. So y'all need to give him lots of encouragement. We love Tyrone. But I wanted to find somebody who had subbed this class, who had been engaged with evangelizing in other cultures. So I asked him if he would be willing. He said yes. So then after that, it's the first Wednesday dinner and singing. All right. So then you finally get to see me again on January 11th. So today is the 14th. You'll see me in January. Isn't that weird? Anyway, so what kind of a class teacher am I? Well, anyway, we're going to have some fun with that. Don't worry about it. Then I'll be back, and I will, Lord willing, I'll be there for those final 8, all the way up to the end of February. But you're welcome to read ahead. I put out some, the key scriptures that we're going to be using. There's a lot of them. I threw 2 scriptures on here that have just been meaning a lot more to me. All right? And one of them is from 1 Peter chapter 2, and that's verse 25. And I wrote that down at the bottom, or put it in here on the bottom of this schedule. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And that's beautiful, and it's powerful. Then there's Matthew chapter 28, the words of Jesus. Verses 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So there you go. We're gonna start working and encompassing into these 2 concepts. Where we were, straying sheep, and where God has now put us in Christ, and how we need to be compelled from that to reach out to people who are straying sheep. That's sort of the 2 ideas that I'm playing with. Oh, and the study welcomes engagement during class. We'll work with that. When you have a class with the term engagement, I mean engage, so we're going to do that. All right? We know the message of the gospel of Christ. And by the way, I got to say, this is larger than my dining room. So I have to get used to looking broader out. When you're practicing these things, I'm used to looking about right here. So that was a joke. Y'all welcome to laugh. Lighten up. It's okay. I'm Todd. All right. So, look, we know the message of the gospel of Christ. When do we engage a person about their relationship with God? Well, I ask myself that. I think of verses like this one from Colossians 4:5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Well, I don't always make the most of an opportunity. And here the outsider is somebody who's just, in my opinion, not a believer. Someone that's looking at you going, what on earth are you Christians all about? And they're watching us. One key thing that I have learned is you always have an audience. I'm in a position where I'm I work a lot with people. I'm looked up, expected to be a leader at work. You always have an audience. People are watching you and wanting to know, how should I act? I'm watching you. And I tell you what, as soon as you mess up, you know what people will do? Well, he did it. What did I do? Christians, in today's culture, we know that we're ridiculed and we're mocked. We're called unintelligent. We're called just narrow-minded. I mean, silly stuff, all right? I mean, it's out there. I deal with this. I've had conversations with people who actually believe these things. We're going to be talking about how we deal with people and making the most of an opportunity. What method should I use to engage so many different personalities, situations, beliefs, perceptions? Every one of those become a hurdle when you're talking about relationships with people. Jesus took those hurdles down to nothing. Now, the question is, can Todd Watrous do that? Well, I might not be just like my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I am, well, let me back up. I have the potential to reach out to people and show them compassion. If they reject it, oh well, we'll discuss that later too. So these are all hurdles. These are challenges. We're going to discuss this as we get going and see how Jesus did things. Now, Ken, brother, I love you to no end. So don't hold this against me that of everything that Ken has taught, every sermon he's done, every conversation I've had with this man, that I come up with the most, this is the quote I'm going to use, they smell death. And he ain't talking ducks. We're talking here is something he said, and I was up in the booth, and I remember when you were teaching this class in Romans, he said they smell death, and then he repeated it. They smell death. And all of a sudden, it was like a new thought came to mind that made sort of like 1 + 1 actually equal 2. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. See, right here, we are the fragrance of life to one another. We are encouraging one another, building each other up. Out there in the world doesn't build us up. If anything, it attempts everything it can to tear us down. But why do they attack? Why do people, when they hear that you're a Christian, just sort of go, well, whatever, weirdo? Or they look at you like that. I think it's a lot because they smell death. So, being viewed as a repulsive adversary. Anyone ever been sort of felt like they were being sort of looked at like this? Not just an adversary, but I'm talking a repulsive adversary. Anyone ever responded to you like that? Of course, you always stop. At least I do. And I go, all right, was it something I said? You know, did I say it incorrectly? You know, if you're sitting at a park and you got hundreds of people sitting down and they're, you know, they got hot dogs going over here and volleyball and soccer, and over here you got some people swimming, and over here you got a birthday party happening, and one of these characters wander in, there is no ifs, ands, or buts that that will become. That will become the focus of everyone's attention. Because when someone sees that, they might not be smelling death, but they know that what they're going to be smelling is repulsive. Do you ever feel like people sort of treat you like that? When you're talking to them about Christ or their eternal life, their salvation of their soul. I mean, they look at you and they think, this is just death. I don't want to talk about spiritual things. I'm in this world. I'm wanting to enjoy life. And this life is a flash. It's a blink of an eye. It's as if, as the great philosopher said, it's like a roll of toilet paper. The closer it gets to the end, the faster it goes. It's true. I hate when I get down and you're looking in the bathroom and you're like, who left that little bitty roll on there? So anyway, sometimes they look at you and it's even more repulsive, scared of you. I can't believe you're even talking to me about this. I don't want to talk. Leave me alone. I don't want to talk about this. And they view you as being some kind of messenger of death and decay. And yet what we're really bringing is life. But it's their perception. It's their beliefs that make you repulsive, or they see you as a child of God, as a light. Who said that? Oh, there it is. Right there. Sorry, Pam. So light, maybe you're saying you're the light, and they're saying, hey, you're making me look bad, kind of a thing. It's sort of like my kid brother, Jeff. That boy was good in everything he did in sports. My brother, he's 3 years younger than me. He'd make me look bad at everything. You don't make the older brother look bad. That's just wrong. But it's the same thing. I would get mad with him. Push him when, you know, I did. I used to pick on him. But he could. He jokes around him to this day. He said, I remember one time, Todd, you got so mad at me. He said, I remember when you flipped the Monopoly board up. I said, boy, that was a shameful time. But I did. That boy was winning dough left and right. He kept winning on that, you know, that middle thing where all the money is in the middle of the Monopoly board? He'd get that every time. I was so furious. Anyways, that's another story. Yes, I have a temper. I try to control it. But you're right. It has something to do with contrast. And they don't want to be reminded that, well, you're just a goody two-shoes, and you don't make me feel good when I'm with you. And so we've got to figure out how we can make them feel good and bring them into it without making them feel like you're saying, nah, you're not as good as me, right? It's not that we're intentionally doing that, I hope. It's just that that might be their perception. It's those hurdles. So we most likely prefer to be associated with, like, King Leonidas. You know, you want to be regarded as this great warrior. You know, you want people to look at you and go, look up to you. They want you to sit there and go, oh, this guy is royal like a lion. I like this guy. He's bold. He's strong. He's courageous. Maybe you just prefer for people to look at you like you are an heir unto heaven, and that you are a child of God, and that you actually have compassion for them. Now, let's talk about us, all right? Sometimes this is the way people look at us, all right? It's true. Y'all welcome this laugh. Y'all can let it out. I'm not going to offend it. I put that there for a little laugh. People look at us strange sometimes. And maybe sometimes we are strange, and maybe that's the way we should be. Actually, we're going to talk about that in this course, in this class also. Because we are different than this world. But we can't forget that we caused this. We are a part of this. A lot of people sit there and say, well, you're going to blame me for that? That's not all my fault. I know. It's my fault, too. I'm part of that. I caused that. And we have to remember that we once were something that was not a part of God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he might rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. And the church said, Amen. Our sins. So I sit there and I think about myself. Well, you sort of jokingly say, can I remember being a sinner? Well, yeah, I can actually. I probably didn't make it through the day now that I think about it. That's another story. You know, it's not like I just all of a sudden I'm just without sin, but it's that I can turn back to God with a contrite heart and say, forgive me of my sins and help me, Lord, to be better. And then when I hear people, I cringe to this day when I hear cursing. And I work in an environment where that happens. I can't stand hearing some of the words, the foul language, hearing God's name not only used in vain, but used vulgarly. Is that a word, vulgarly? Anyways, you know what I mean? And I cringe to this day. And I'll tell you what, I'm not bragging, but I have an influence on some people. And I've let them know I don't like that. If you're trying to impress me with your repertoire, that is not doing it. And I have people, they'll slip, they'll say a curse word in front of me, and to this day in a meeting with other people or whatever, they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, Todd. That's not only to my benefit, don't you see that it benefits you too in front of other people? When you're speaking, I don't know, I keep having these conversations with people about their language. Why do you curse so much? What is it doing? Anyway, let's not forget where we came from, yet stay focused on heaven. My point there is, it's not about looking back at the darkness and the sin that I have left as I've gone into Christ. All right, because if I look back, I might trip over something in front of me. But it's remembering what's behind me while I focus ahead on the goal of heaven. Sometimes people about forgiveness forget to forgive, even themselves. You ever done that? See, I think that's a travesty. Because if God has forgiven you and washed you with the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, and you still won't let go of feeling bad about what is in the past, then fix it and move on. And live in joy of being a child of God. So, we know a better way than sin or death. We know our adversary is sitting out there. Never forget, our adversary, Satan, is sitting out there waiting to pounce. And there's people, we know to look. A lot of people don't realize to look. And how can we help them? For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So here's one of the confessions. I challenge the Spirit of God sometimes. I have no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I'll be compelled to say something to somebody or maybe do something, and I won't do it. And I think God's trying to lead me by his Spirit, and I'm being a bullheaded 3-year-old temper tantrum. No, I'm not going in there to do that. But this verse right here means a lot to me. For if you're being led by the Spirit of God, those are sons of God. In Romans chapter 8, we have to remember what we are now. We have a spirit of adoption. We are children of God, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. An heir is not just an adopted redheaded stepchild, right? Not picking on any redhead, sorry. All right? I'm not picking on, I'm just saying. This is saying, right? This is a cliche. All right. When you are an heir, what are you? Inheritance? You are part of something, right? You're going to get something even though you did not earn something. And the only blood that I have in common with God is the blood of Christ. I'm adopted in Christ. And that is something that we have to remember. In Ephesians, we are no longer strangers and aliens to God. And you are fellow citizens with the saints. You're of God's household. And you are a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Do you ever consider yourselves these things? Because what I want to do with these verses, because we're going to be looking more at these as we go through this class, not tonight, but into this. And the whole thing is to build us up and understand that we can have confidence in Christ. Yes, brother. Bold as lions. Where is that at, by the way? Anybody know where that's at off the top of the head? Bold as lions. I remember that one. I just can't remember where it's at. But that's what we're talking about. Have confidence. 1 Peter, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Man, is that awesome? A holy nation, a people of God's own possession, the people of God, and you have received mercy. You have received mercy. Not justice. Not justice. Because when you really, really think hard about things, sometimes it's easy for Todd Watchers to look at somebody else and says, I want justice. I want that person to be punished. And then, but when it's switched around and it's me everybody's pointing at, I'm like, ooh, mercy. Brother Bob. Proverbs 28:1. That's awesome. That's where it's at. Proverbs 28:1. You want to read that for us? The righteous are bold as a lion. All right. Thank you, Bob. Yeah. He said it's always good to know what's in there after you've said it. Now, Todd Watchers, when he's looking at people thinking about punishment versus, mercy versus justice, sometimes I'm just like, it'd be a lot easier on a few things for me if I could be the judge and the jury and just get this party on. Then I stop and I think, wow, I'm glad my name's Todd, not God, because I couldn't touch that. I don't want to be like that, because in truth, I would have to judge myself, and I should punish myself as I judge someone else, right? That sounds sort of familiar. I think Jesus said that, right? We are not judges, but we are messengers, and people get that confused, and that's something else we're going to talk about. Well, you're judging me. No, actually, I'm not. I'm sharing with you the Word of God. I'm showing you what God says. Well, that's judging me. I don't like that. I'm not judging you. I'm just, you ask, I'm bringing it to you. You don't like to hear that. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, when you're an ambassador, what happens when you go out there and you don't do what an ambassador should do? Anybody want to take a guess? How long are you going to have that job? When you're representing your country, and the leader of your country is telling you need to deliver this message at so-and-so time, and it needs to be exactly this, and you decide, well, I'm going to change this because I don't necessarily want to say that. It might get me hung here in this country. Or, well, you know what? I think I won't deliver the message and just walk away. Which is more evil? I think it's the same way with God, with sharing of Christ. We have a message, the gospel of Christ, that we can share with others. And we can do it incorrectly, Or we cannot do it at all, and we will not be pleasing our boss. And that's just something to think about. I've been thinking about this about me. Am I a good ambassador for Christ when I'm out there in the world? Because it's easy for me to do it right here. As the saying goes, it's easy to preach to the choir. It's harder when you're out there against a riot of people who really don't want to listen to you. So we can deliver the right message, and can we deliver it with the right method? Different people, different methods. But you take the right message and you deliver it the wrong way, how's that going to be received? Or if you take the wrong message, but you deliver it with a really cool method, well, then you're just a car salesman. Right? Didn't mean that wrong, anybody, but I meant you're just selling a bad lemon. If a person or people are angered by God's message, then what? Anybody want to take a guess at the rest of that answer? What would you say? What? They're guilty? All right. And so if a person and people are angered by God's message, then what? They're guilty? Okay. I was guilty too. They're not going to listen because they're angered. Okay. When Paul went preaching at a lot of places, did y'all know that Paul got stoned? And he survived. He also got lashed a couple of times. 40 lashes minus one. How many was that? 39, but I mean, how many times did it happen to him? Because I thought it happened more than once or something. And then Paul, what was his message? The gospel of Christ. And you know what? I would say he was delivering it in the most passionate and compassionate way. So I'm thinking he was doing it right. But the message wasn't taken. But he was being an ambassador for Christ. And despite the crowds that literally were rioting against him, he kept on preaching. No, that's true. Now, what the brother said was is that when Paul was preaching about the unknown God, he was using his intellect. He understood, he was understanding the culture, right? But he was saying that, you know what, you go into Hollywood right now and you try to preach it, you're probably going to get run out, is what he said. It doesn't matter how passionate, but you know what, that's the whole point. It's not that people are going to always receive it, even if you're delivering it in the right message and the right method. It's not that they're going to take it. But the thing is that we have to deliver it. Yes, Elton. That's right. Thank you. Because that's exactly what we're talking about. We're being ambassadors. We have a message to deliver. And yes, it's a little knee-shaking, nervous, cold hands, cold sweat walking into it. I'm going to about deliver a message, and I don't know what's about to happen, but it's ours to do. Yes. That is a good point. She said, you know, you throw that seed out there. We're supposed to be sowing the seed. How it grows and stuff, that's not really up to us. But what she said was is interesting, because we're going to get to this point in this class, is discussing what do we do What is our responsibility with the message? What is God's responsibility? Do we care what people think, or do we care more about what God thinks? You see where it gets confusing? Do I worry about what so-and-so's thinking, or do I concern myself with what God wants me to do? I don't want to do that. I'm sort of scared about doing that. I don't know if I want to talk. Or looking at somebody and going, well, that person doesn't want anything to do with Christ. I can tell by the way they look. That is another form of judgment that will get us in trouble. And I'm guilty of that too. David Sparks. Yeah, we can get impatient because we don't see the results we want. Because instead of thinking about God's expectations, we're too worried about our own. But we should not, and we're going to discuss this more at length at another time, but we don't want... I have had the challenge of looking at somebody and going, I ain't even about to go anywhere with them on a discussion about their spiritual health. Because as soon as I open my mouth, this person's probably going to want to deck me. You know, you think like that, and that's wrong. And when we walk away from that, I think about how I just shamed God. Because we should be bold as lions. I like that. I'm going to have to use that. Keep that going. Yes, Pam? I should change my name to Jonah. Okay. Yeah. Them. He delivered the message. So what about it? Well, it's God's will be done. This is the other part of this deal, right? How do I deal with me? How do I deal with people? And how do I please Almighty God? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's hard to beat that. What's Todd's will? Well, Todd's will is, sometimes average, not very pleasing all the time. Sometimes downright not good. All right? God's is that. I like the part about the renewing of your mind because, see, as I read these scriptures for the, I don't know what, umpteenth time, they start bringing on new meaning. And I start thinking, is my mind being renewed? Or is my mind, man, is it just still? Therefore, those who also suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. We have a faithful Creator, Almighty God, who we can speak with and call Heavenly Father. That is something that I have to keep reminding myself. Whenever I think about doing something hard, I have got to be looking at myself and thinking, I look like one of those 3-year-old children, or a 5-year-old, or an 8-year-old, or whatever, and you're going, okay, go on, do it, go on. Go on and do it. No, go up to the person and shake their hand. It's going to be okay. And they're all like, oh, I don't want to shake this person's hand. And God's standing right behind us going, no, it's okay. Go. You can shake their hand. Talk to them. Just say hello. And God keeps nudging you. And finally, your choice is, well, do I go up and shake their hand and please my dad? Or do I take off running the other direction? And then my dad's like, oh, I am so going to get... you just embarrassed me, okay, son? And I try to think of myself in that context because I think it helps me, personally me, to really stop and think, okay, my father is standing right here with me. I need to be confident, bold as a lion. Uh-oh, John's got another one. Okay, John, tell us. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. I'm going to, hold on a sec. Yes, sir, absolutely. The, what was that again, Proverbs what? 28:1, thank you. Boy, I was about to be way off. All right, we might work that one back in again. All right, that's where our class is going. I hope this is a pretty good intro to sort of give you an idea of the thoughts of Todd Watchers. Hopefully, the thoughts are it's leading us all to the will of God in reaching out to people and having the conversation that we have a tough time doing. If you see somebody with a sling, their arms in a sling, and you just sort of know them, you know, just sort of casual. I sort of see you once in a while. What, if you see him, what are you going to say? Hey, how's it going? Whoa, what happened to your arm? What if you could see their soul in a sling? What if you could see that their soul is limping? What if you could see that they have a bandage on their soul and it's bleeding? That's the way we have to look at this world. Ask the question. Ask the question. And that question is tough. So how is your relationship with God? Do you know Christ Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? These are the kind of things that are not easy for me to do. This is stuff that I'm having a challenge with. So once again, this is Todd Watchers, talking to Todd Watchers and sharing a piece of myself with y'all as we go through this study. I thank y'all very much for listening to me. Thank y'all for being here, and I'll see you again January 11th next year.